You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Joe Zanicaro. It's Matt Cannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. We're in here for another off-season episode, but we do have some very exciting news to talk about. Before we get into that, first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
I mean, for a day that I thought we were going to basically just do some recaps and, our standard kind of off-season stuff. Wow, what a day for Bolts fans, and it's pretty exciting to be on the show. How you guys doing?
It feels like an oasis in the desert getting this piece of news right here. I'm doing fine myself. Jake, I'll let you take it away.
Well, guys, he's back once again. Yanni Gourde signing a six-year extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The contract signing at $2.33 million annually.
Did you throw that sound effect in there?
That was so fitting.
No, that was not a sound effect. There's a huge thunderstorm rolling over top of me, so hopefully I don't lose internet at any point in this. But as you can tell, the weather kind of fitting everything for right now, this big contract that the Lightning put out to sign Yanni Gourde. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the contract, though, I want to shout out again the Lightning social media team. They just know how to do it with Yanni Gourde. Some of you guys remember back when we traded for him again, they put out that video rolling the little cart across the screen, which he did at the Stanley Cup celebration when it was raining. And this time they retweeted that, but then posted another picture of that same cart and put like a little piece of paper. I don't know, it was like a couple pieces of paper on top of it and put a pen on there, which to, you know, say, hey, there's a contract signing coming from Gourde. Fantastic stuff done by Lightning social media team. That was really well played. I love that stuff. I get a kick out of it very easily. So thought that was great. But let's get into the contract. So 6 years, $2.33 million per year. Guys,
I just love the rolling thunder in the background. It sounds like Eureka just keeps putting these drops into it, and it's perfect.
You're going to keep hearing them. Let's start with the salary cap itself. I'm thrilled at this contract. $2.33 million per year, I think, is a absolute steal for a guy like Yanni Gourde.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a hell of a deal right now. 6 years is the kind of sketchy part, but at such a low number, like, in, you know, by the time the deal is up, you know, 6 years from now, $2.3 million is going to look like league minimum right now. So I'm not worried even a little bit. You know, if it's a buyout in year four or whatever, like, it'll be such an insignificant amount that as of right now, I love this deal. It might age a little poorly, but it won't be, you know, an anchor or anything like that. And again, live in the moment, you know, for boom. For right now, I truly do love this deal because Gourde was good. He was really good when he came over. Like, you know, he only had like one or two goals or something, but like 10, 11, 12 assists in a short period of time.
One goal, but 13 assists. Yeah, wow. He was an assist machine when he first came over.
Yeah, and like it wasn't for a lack of trying. Like, you know, the goal scoring, it wasn't exactly there, but he was doing, you know, exactly what we expected of Yanni Gourde. So I'm super stoked about this contract. I'm sure you guys are feeling similar.
He's a guy that everybody loves, first of all, fan favorite. I feel like something kind of happened to him over in Seattle because he's not just smiling all the time when he's on the ice. He seems a little bit more aged, a little bit more serious. But with that comes a guy that still has his work ethic. For a bottom six guy, he's, what, 33 right now. I think it's great. He's also somebody that, you know, that you can throw up on a higher line, you know, if we need to, for a couple of games, and he'll fit in. It's not like he's going to let you down because he's not going to work hard. And if you look at some of the stuff that he's done in his career, you know, for the Lightning, and actually even for the Kraken, you know, not, we're like one season removed from him being a plus 23, which is only it's the second highest, and that was with the Kraken season for him, because in 17-18 he was a plus 34 for the Lightning. That was basically his full debut season. He's got a lot of fight in his game, and I mean, that who doesn't love a little bit of Yanni Gourde?
How many times did we compare players after Gourde had left to, oh, he's a Yanni Gourde type of player because we loved him so much? That's how well he fit in with the Lightning. He's a hard worker. He's a leader. He's a gritty player. I love Yanni Gourde. And my bias aside, I think he's a really great fit for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And at that low cap, it's an absolute win. Matt, you mentioned the 6 years. And there is some debate. That's the biggest part of this contract that some people get taken back by, which understandably 6 years is a long time, especially for a guy who's already 33 years old. It doesn't concern me as much because the way I look at it, and Matt, you kind of hit on some of those points, but like 6 years down the road, you don't know what the cap situation is going to be like. You don't know what Gord's going to be doing. Heck, he could retire before this contract even goes up. I don't know if he will or not, but basically that's a long ways down. And 2.3 million is not a ton of money. So the 6 years doesn't really bother me. I love that he's locked up. And he actually talked about that in his press conference with the media that they did after he signed the contract, and basically saying that was a big deal for him. That's a big reason he wanted this contract. He loves it here in Tampa. Joe, you said like he didn't seem thrilled when he was in Seattle, because he truly, truly loves it here in Tampa. Loves the fans, loves the community, loves the coaching staff, the players. He wants to be here, and I think getting that 6 years was a big deal for him, and that's why he maybe took a little bit of a pay cut that he could have gotten elsewhere if he went to free agency.
I mean, yeah. It's a cool thing to think that you can finish your career in a place that basically it started. It's a very, very rare thing for players to be able to do something like that. And again, if he's, what did I say, 33 now, he'll be ending when he's basically 39. I don't see him as being the type of player that can play beyond that, maybe he'll try to go for an extra contract, but it is definitely neat to start with an organization and finish with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, his time in Seattle, he was there for 3 years or something. Like, he's such a gamer. Like, he never, of course, his heart belongs in Tampa. This is where he won his cups, and this is where he, you know, most likely will retire. But he was beloved in Seattle, too. Like, he wasn't just a fan favorite here in Tampa. Like, there were people calling for him to be the captain there. Like, you know, he was, you know, a franchise face of that team. You know, it wasn't exactly star-studded or anything, but Yanni just touches so many hearts because of the way he plays and the person he is. And he's versatile enough that, yeah, he can play in the year, you know, five, maybe even six of this contract. I'm not expecting that to happen, but, you know, in, you know, these later years, if he ends up as the fourth line center or something like that, making such a ridiculously low amount, especially years later, if the cap continues to jump like it is, this is a steal of a deal.
One of my buddies, I think it was in 2001, actually named his dog Yanni after after Yanni Gourde. So when he left, he was very, very upset. Now that he's back, he
great.
He really likes it.
My sister is a huge Yanni Gourde fan. She was furious when he left and went to Seattle. So I know there's a lot of Lightning fans that have those similar feelings. I love Gourde, and they're very happy he's not only back but now extended for 6 years. Couple of the quotes from him in that press conference, Gourde said, "I'm so happy to continue my journey as a member of the Lightning, but also the term was a big factor. I am very happy and excited for the future. It was definitely an exciting last few days." And continuing on that term part, he says, "I love Tampa. I want to stay in Tampa for a long time. So that was the biggest thing for me, getting some term and being able to stay and play in Tampa for the remaining years of my career." He's thrilled to be here. He's excited to be here. Lightning fans are excited to have him. I think the biggest part of this contract, too, is that I think you get him at a great deal now, like specifically looking at it right now. And as we all know, even though the cap is jumping up and there's going to be some changes, this helps the Lightning out a lot. They're always up against the cap. I think there's a couple of the pieces that they could use, and they're in a good spot, generally speaking, than they have been in the last couple of years. So this solidifies that bottom six or low top six, wherever you want to end up placing him, and it gives you more flexibility to work with when it comes to the cap space.
Yeah, and again, we saw him playing first line minutes too, you know, in some games. I don't think he did any in the playoffs or anything, but he was playing with, you know, Kucherov and Point or Kucherov and Gensel. Like, he is that versatile of a guy.
Perfect time to put in the drop in the latest comment.
I think, yeah, that really says here he played on every single line. He did. He's a versatile player.
Perfect. Yeah, I did look over the cap that we had. Oh, quick question too. Are there any clauses in the contract? I only know the term and amount, but yes, are there any clauses?
There is a full no trade clause, which
okay.
These things are very often handed out when, from JBB, and it's also something you do to a player who wants to stay here and will sign a long term contract to get that cap down. So not surprised, but yes,
there's a full clause. And no trade clauses are only so ironclad. Like if you really want to trade a player, they might waive it. But he totally could have earned more money, like overall, if he decided to, you know, hit the market, you know, a team desperate, you know, needs a third line center, something like that. I'm sure he could have gotten more money elsewhere too. So I will call us a bit of a discount, a bit of a budget deal for us as well. So I am very, very happy with where we are.
That's, you know, it's because we don't have the same state income tax that we're able to do things like that and steal players away from other much more respectable organizations, especially that are in above the USA borderline, you know, that rightfully deserve all the best players at discount rates, you know.
It's ridiculous, Joe, and the NHL needs to amend the rules to take that. I mean, look at the Florida's won the Stanley Cup finals the last 6 years. It's just, you know, clearly cheating.
It's just not fair. Bunch of whiners, man. Get over it. Just have a better organization. All right. So moving back towards Gord here, though, looking at his stats, last year he did miss a few games because he had an injury. Hopefully he's not injury prone, and that's not something that's going to be recurring. He only played 57 games. He had 7 goals in those 57 games, which is the fewest he's had in a season since basically 2016-17, where he played a total of 20 games and had 6 goals in those 20 games. So by the numbers, he's definitely on a decline from productivity, but you know, maybe we can see a little bit of a resurgence as he gets a full season with the Lightning and bounce back, because they're going to put a bunch of really fast young guys around him that need someone that's been there before. And I mean, it's weird to say at this point that Yanni Gourde is a veteran player, because I've always looked at him as a kid. But he's not a kid. He's been playing in the league for almost 10 years now, and he can really be, and he's won 2 cups. He can be a really good influence on some of the talent that we have coming in.
Oh, absolutely. He's always been a leader in the locker room. Players will tell you, like, you know, he's not just the energy guy on the ice too. Like, he's a big part of the locker room. I don't know if I'd call him like a mentor or anything like that, but you are a veteran, a veteran with the organization as well. So like, you know, your way around, you know, everybody. So he could be a good fatherly figure to, you know, some new guys coming in. You know, it could be.
It's hilarious to think of Yanni Gourde as being a fatherly figure. Just, you know, thinking of him with his like little boyish smile that he has when he when he first came into the league. Man, we're getting old.
I don't even think of him as a fatherly figure. I would say I would see him like as the mama bear in a line with the young players, and you mess with our young guys, he's gonna come at you.
I like it.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of the way I see it.
And he certainly has the work ethic on the ice to set a good example.
I could very easily see him on a line and doing really well with Gage Gonsalves, maybe. That could be a good combo there. We already know he plays extremely well with guys like Anthony Cirelli. There's even Brandon Hagel. Those two guys coming at you at full force, that would not be a fun combination to deal with in the opposing team. There's a lot of, again, the versatility for Yanni Gourde. Joe, you mentioned about some of his stats, and I know early on when he first came back to the Bolts, really just the whole end of the season, he only had the 1 goal, so he wasn't scoring as much, but he's putting up a lot of points. He had 13 assists at the end of the season there, which, funny enough, was more assists than he had in Seattle. He had 14 points in Seattle. He had 17 in last year, so he was right there.
Oh yeah, he was snake bitten. Like among the first, I guess the only goal that he did score was like just a rebound that he crashed the net like he usually does and put it, if I'm not mistaken, in on his backhand. But again, looking at these stats, his shot percentage was 2.9% when he joined. That is really, really low. So it means that he definitely was taking some shots. He took 35 shots, but they just were getting eaten up, and he was snake bit there for quite a while. But, you know, it's one of those things too. If you're able to take the shots, eventually they will go in for you, and it's much more worrisome if you're not getting into the good areas. And that's not something you got to worry about with Gourde. It just wasn't working out, kind of like it didn't work out in the later half of the season for quite a few guys on the team.
2% shooting percentage is as unsustainable as like a 35% shooting percentage. You have to imagine that number will come up too.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, he was getting, it wasn't like he wasn't getting any points at all. He was still making great plays, and you have to expect now the full offseason back with Tampa. Because even though he played with Tampa before, anytime you come to a new team, even if you are returning, that's a different adjustment coming from the West Coast from Seattle. It's not easy just to make that quick transition. We see that all the time.
And we had a completely different system defensively, you know.
And that system is going to change once again here as Lightning continue their search for a new head coach, or not head coach, defensive coach. Yeah, no, please not head coach. We need Cooper to stay. Joe, I don't think you were with us the last time we talked about this with Blashill now moving on as the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks.
I don't think you were with us last time we talked about this with Blashill.
Yeah, it was you, Jake.
Listen, the offseason games very much run together, and I can't remember anything because I'm just looking to when is it October again so I can really get back into it.
We should gaslit Joe into thinking he didn't do last show.
Yeah, like it was all just a dream. I mean, you've probably been able to pull it off too. No, I mean, having Blashill gone, as we were discussing in the last show, which you can find if you subscribe to the YouTube page and look at previous episodes, we don't know what it's going to look like for next season. All we can do is basically guarantee that there's going to be a change, especially because Cooper isn't an X's and O's guy. He's going to rely on that assistant coach to create the defensive scheme for the team. And that means that there's probably going to be another little bit of a, what would you call it, learning period, grace period to figure out what this new system is going to look like at the full speed of the regular NHL season.
If you guys could pluck any Bolts alumni player to be the new assistant head coach, who would you choose? This is the defense coach, so take that.
That's a good question.
My answer. First of all, one, because of vibes, I think he'd be the best like assistant coach ever. And also because he was a great defenseman.
Why do I know?
No, it's not Zach Bogosian.
that's why exactly.
Maybe my second favorite obscure defenseman that only had a cup of coffee with Tampa, but Dan Girardi. I would love to see him behind the bench. I think he's a great, great vibes guy, and I just want him back in Tampa. I love him so much.
I could understand that working. I mean, say if you want a great vibes guy, I wouldn't mind having Andre Waugh at least doing, you know, some broadcast commentary to bring someone back in. But that is a good question of if there is a former player who you'd want to bring back into that, because it, you know, brings up a lot of things beyond just what they did on the ice, but their intelligence, which, you know, sometimes doesn't necessarily translate, especially in their later years. You can be really smart but not be able to pull it off anymore. Matthias Olin, I think, was pretty crucial to helping Hedman get better as a defensive defenseman. And not that he'd be necessarily a good coach, but, you know, it's kind of triggered that coming to mind as somebody that helped the learning process.
We need Victor to get all the defense back in him, too. So
I'll go with Braden Coburn. He's doing announcing.
Still in the area.
But still in the area. I could see that working potentially. Kevin Shattenkirk, maybe another one as well, former defenseman that has a lot of experience.
I'll stick with the blue line and take the shot.
Yeah, we'll stick with Braden Coburn for my answer then for now. That's a good one though. Question here from Beverly. She's asking, do we keep Cherry for his last year? Well, you know, it's probably a very interesting question because
respectfully, as opposed to what, if you have a chance to comment in, like, what are the other options? You saying like buy out his last year?
I mean, he's already buried. Well, like, I kind of forgot.
Like, does he stay down in the AHL or does he just come up back up to the full team? I think that's my guess. I don't know. I think it's also dependent on what happens in the offseason here. What's JV going to do? He's got about $3.4 million of cap space to work with. Technically, they have a full lineup as of right now, but you do have guys like Cam Atkinson, Luke Glendening, Gage Gonsalves, and Nick Perbix that do not have contracts. So
I will say unless he's traded or bought out, which I don't think either of them are real possibilities, there's absolutely no way that you don't invite him to camp. if for no other reason than to light a fire under the asses of some of the younger guys to know that they have to really fight for a spot. And, you know, I've been hoping for Sherry to surprise us for literally every single season he's been part of the team. But, you know, maybe he surprises us at the start of the season and does what we all hope he was going to do from the beginning.
It would sure be a surprise.
You never know. You never know. Man, I'm still disappointed. I was very high on Connor Sherry and just did not work out. So
didn't you have a crazy prediction for him, like 30 goals or something?
I did. Why do you really have to bring that up, Matt? I went to the polar opposites of the ends of the earth with my predictions. I nailed Brandon Hagel, actually even underestimated him a little bit, and then was completely wrong on Connor Sherry. But hey, you know, nobody's perfect. So
we sacrificed Brandon Hagel's good seasons for Connor Sherry's bad seasons. I think it was a worthwhile trade, but
two seasons with the Lightning, he has Hold on. Almost. He's got a total of 15 points, 4 goals, 11 assists. I was going to say, Yanni Gourde almost has the same number of points in the.
It's comparable in a fraction of the time, which is sad.
Hopefully he bounces back and maybe has a great year and surprises us, like you were saying, Joe. That would be great, but we'll have to wait and see. And again, I think a large part of this depends on the offseason, and there's just so many questions right now. We don't know what JB is going to do. He's got a limited cap space. Again, even though the cap did jump up, we're still up against it and dealing with that just because we have so many great players and so many, you know, they've been winning for so long. That's what happens when you do all that success, which, by the way, is going to be interesting to watch what happens to the Florida Panthers here, because they've now made it to 3 Stanley Cup finals and they're going to start running into some of the same issues that the Lightning ran into when it comes to all that. So, you know,
they're in a better position than we were. At least the cap is going up every year. We had to deal with a 3-4 straight years of a flat cap. I mean, we were, the team got neutered because of that. Like,
hold on, you want to complain about state tax? You know, what about what's happened to the Lightning? Every time they win a Stanley Cup, they get screwed by the cap. It happened in 2003-04, and it happened again when we won. Like, you want to talk about stacking the deck against the team? Jeez, yeah. I mean, that's way worse.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, and it's unfortunate, but what are you going to do? And they're still paying the price for it, even now, as the cap slowly jumps back up to where it should have been those years ago, but unfortunately, that's the way it goes. So, what do you guys?
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not sure if you guys know the answer to. On Puckpedia, it says we've got about $3.5 million of cap space. Does that take into account the UFAs that we have? Perbix, Glendening, and Atkinson. I think those are all of them.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that is our cap space. I could be wrong though. I'm still learning Puckpedia. It's not like cap friendly, so.
Because I know it's not, you know, July 1st, like they're still technically under contract. So I'm not sure if it takes it into account. But right now, $3.5 million is not a whole lot to play with. It is the least amount of any team in the league right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's our cap space, if I'm not mistaken. Because if you look on Puckpedia, it shows guys like Cam Atkinson, Gonsalves without a contract. So my guess is that's our cap space, which you're right, it's not a lot. I don't know what they're gonna, we'll see during the draft, you know, where that's gonna go. Did they make any trades? Unfortunately, this is the hardest thing to talk about because you just don't know. You don't know what JVB's planning on doing and how he's going to make those moves. Does he go out and trade the guy? Does he try to get them signed to keep contracts? There's a lot of questions.
Anticipated season end cap hit. The projected cap hit is based on the current roster, calculated by summing all cap hits of players currently counting towards the salary cap. It assumes current roster is in effect for the remainder of the season. So I believe that means that it's still looking at the exactly who you have signed.
So like it includes Perbix and Glendening and Atkinson.
I believe that's what it's saying, but I could be reading it wrong I could be reading it wrong.
And regardless, it gets you like an extra like $2 million at best, or maybe like $3 million, I guess, but it's not a whole lot.
Follow up from Beverly here on her Sherry comment said no one would want him? I mean, maybe there's a team out there that could maybe want him.
We already waived him. Nobody wanted him.
And nobody picked him up there. So I doubt it, but things do change. Maybe there's a team at the deadline that's looking for a veteran player like him. But I think it's unlikely.
If my team at the trade deadline acquired a player from the AHL, I'd be pretty upset.
Hey, maybe the Sharks need a guy.
Guys, I have the solution for our season, said no GM ever about Cherry.
Oh, boy. Coming here from Daniel, also have very few holes to fill. Large part of the roster is already set. Yes, for the most part, I do agree with that. I think there are a couple little things I'd like to see them improve on, especially on the back end when it comes to defense. But yes, for the most part, it's already pretty set. So we're in a good spot there.
All right, let me jump back in here. I looked it up a little bit too slowly to address Beverly. Yeah, the team that could really use him and would really want him is the Crunch. He was their leading points getter by 8 points over the season. Again, a veteran presence, a guy that's been there before, somebody that I think can really help these younger guys figure out what they need in order to become better players. So I think he's in a great spot. And yeah, maybe he's being overpaid to be there, but maybe that's something that would be a good thing long term for talent development.
Yeah, maybe Isaac Howard can learn a thing or two from him. Oh, wait.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're still waiting to see the results of that and how it all plays out and whether he is going to be traded. We're 98% sure he is not going to be signing. So that's another thing we have to look out for this offseason. Again, a lot of just question marks. I do kind of feel like, though, I said before, there's not really a spot for him on this roster. It's not that big of a deal. It does feel like he would fit really nicely on this roster right now as that little extra forward piece that you could sign for, obviously, a rookie deal. That is kind of a bummer. We'll see what they get for him when they trade him, but I am kind of a little bit annoyed about that.
There's really only one, I think only one RFA that we need signed, and it's Gage Gonsalves. He's kind of the not the odd man out, but I'd like to see him tendered a contract sooner than later. If you guys were Julien Brisebois, what kind of contract do you offer Gage Gonsalves? Because, again, he's not exactly a young player. He's like 24 or something, but he had a really good season. Like, he made me such a believer.
8 years, no trade clause. Still
going. That's a very JBB contract, actually.
Exactly. That's why I said it.
I say I hate playing the GM guessing game because I'm never anywhere close to what ends up happening. There's so many things in play that we're not privy to that it just seems like a shot in the dark.
It's hard to say, Matt. My guess is it'll be like one of those quote-unquote bridge contracts where, it's a couple mil, not a ton, maybe 3 years to give them a chance to kind of prove it. And then you get that big potential contract depending on how you play. That'd be my best guess, some kind of bridge contract. What that exactly is, it's hard to say. Will it involve a trade clause? Probably.
Yeah, I'd probably offer him like a 3x3 or something. Like, I think – I don't know. Is three a bit rich? Like $3 million?
That's yeah. Three might be a bit high. He had 8 goals and 12 assists.
Okay, I might have been buying a little too much into the Gonsalves stock, but again, me and Michael love him. So he's one of those unconditional love players for me, and I have many
he's
of them.
Good, and I think he's got a lot of potential, but I just think maybe it's around 1.5, 2-ish, 2 or 3 years. Maybe that's more of a guess that I don't know. Kind of like Joe said, it's so hard to predict and where it goes. Again, it all depends on like the market. Where do these other players sign? What are they signing for? What's the value of some of these players? But I guess it'd be around that area, $1-2 million, somewhere in that budget. But hopefully it'll be a good deal nonetheless. We know JBB is for the most part really good when it comes to that contract negotiation stuff, and it's worked the lighting into some really good spots and signing all these players and what he's already done with this team in winning the back-to-back Stanley Cups, and of course, making it 2-3 straight finals. So we'll see how that all plays out. Talk about, too, Anthony Cirelli. Did I leave out? Am I here?
You're still here. We can hear you, but your video is cutting out a bit.
Oh, boy. The weather's getting the best of me then. Quickly, Anthony Cirelli and his nomination for being a finalist in.
So he was a, and now we're down to two. So he was a Selke finalist and lost by quite a bit, right? He ended up third.
Yeah, he ended up third. The other two, the other two nominees being Sam Reinhart and Alex Barkov of the Florida Panthers. And I'm not going to say that I'm surprised Barkov won. I'm really not. But to me, and I'm not going to say Sorelli should have won either, but I think third is a bit harsh, and I don't think Barkov should have won, actually. He played the least amount of games, had the worst defensive stats. Like, this is the best defensive forward award. Again, I'm not trying to make a case for Anthony Sorelli, but I just don't understand why they just kind of gave it to Barkov. It seems like name recognition won him that trophy.
I'd say maybe last year he was a plus one on the season.
Yeah.
I don't know what Sorelli was. I got to pull that up in order to be able to compare. But that
better than plus one.
plus 30. A plus one versus a plus 30. And Sorelli played 80 of the games rather than 67. I don't know, man. I don't know how they justify this one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of your best ability is availability, and 80 is more than 67. Again, I'm not trying to make the case against Sam Reinhart, who I thought had a really good defensive season. I think he might have led the league with shorthanded goals or points, which Sorelli was really high up there as well, too. So to me, I'm a bit bummed out, but I'm also really glad and really proud of our, finally, for the first time in franchise history, we've had a Selke nominee. I think Eureka sent it in the chat. This is the first time we've had a Selke forward.
Well, is it? I guess maybe it is, but for Reinhart, he was a plus six, and he had six shorthanded points, where Sorelli had seven, and again was a plus 30. So by the stats, by the numbers, I don't know, man.
Name recognition award is kind of what it seems like to me. Brandon Hagel, I think he ended up eighth overall in the Selke votes, which is ninth. Okay. Which is pretty impressive too. You're a winger, so you don't get quite highlighted the same way that centers do. Like, this is a very center based award. So it's cool that he got some recognition. I thought he could have been one of the nominees, or at least like top five, but it's still cool that, he got some recognition.
I gotta show this. Hopefully it'll show up. I don't know if how bad my video is.
And it cuts out right when you say you don't know how bad your video is.
No! All right. Hopefully you can still hear me at least. There's a funny graphic on there. Someone put 2 pi in both the Panthers players' faces. And it's pretty funny.
We saw it for a split second.
Okay, well, that's... Unfortunately, the weather is getting the best of me right now, so I'll keep it short. But good for Sorelli. I didn't even know the voting was taking place already, and we're starting to see some of these finalists to tell... run together the offseason is for me at this point, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with the rest of the awards, because there are a couple of bolts that are up for some stuff. It'll be exciting to see how that all plays out. Don't forget, though, even though it may be in the middle of the offseason, check out the awesome store. We're here for RBLR Sports. We got awesome team-inspired merch for you guys. Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdies, you name it, rblrsports.com, and you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order if you're able to hear that and my audio cut out.
We promise that the gear that you buy there is of better quality than Jake's video and audio right now. That's our guarantee.
That is a guarantee. It's definitely better than that. Guys, I think we do it for us though in this episode. Thank you so much to everybody who's been tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Drop a comment down below. Make sure you follow us on social media at RBLR Sports so you don't miss our future off-season content. And with that said, we'll talk to you guys in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.